The Bible reading today is from Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thanks, Naomi. Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you all. It's great to be with you as we continue our deep dive through Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. And today I want to start by talking about birds. Indeed. I didn't even think about that connection. That's a good one. Now, before you think, well, hang on, I came here for a worship service, not for a wildlife doco. TJ, don't break out into a David Attenborough impersonation. In particular, I want to talk about this phrase, this proverb. Birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. It's this idea that in nature, birds of the same species hang around each other. This is a photo that I took of some little corellas out west of Broken Hill some 17 years ago when I was out there. There were tens, possibly over 100 little corellas all flying around together, although if you look very closely, you will see a galah in there somewhere, probably making a galah of himself. And what the proverb, birds of a feather flock together, is saying is that often we do what birds do. As human beings, we gravitate towards, we gather around with people who are like us, people who do the same things that we do, people who like the same things that we like, people with the same kind of personality as us, the same interests, same hobbies, same beliefs, people who talk the same way that we do, people of the same generation as us, people of a similar age, people who live in the same area that we live in. And in many ways, well, that's just natural, isn't it? That's just human nature, right? But when we come here on a Sunday, when we come here to church, do we end up doing that here at TCBC? Do we end up talking to the same people every week because they're the people that we most closely get along with? Do we end up splitting off into groups? Is there anything wrong with that? Is there a problem? What does tonight's passage have to say about it? Before we jump in, let's pray together. Please pray with me. Father God, in some ways this is a simple passage, and yet also get the sense that it's a really, really challenging one for us to put into practice. So, Lord God, we really need you to be the one speaking to us today. Lord, open our hearts, open our ears, convict us, challenge us, encourage us as we need to be. And we pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, to give you a little bit of a roadmap of where this talk's going, I want to suggest that in this passage, in verses 11 to 18, They give us three truths. There are three truths in verses 11 to 18. And then in verses 19 to 22, we find three applications. So there are three truths followed by three applications. And the first truth is in verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. I'm going to call this first truth the walls between us, the walls between us. I'm probably going to spend a bit more time on this than anything else in this talk. See, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus in modern Turkey. They weren't Jews, ethnically or culturally. And one of the biggest issues in the early church was the division between Jews on one hand and non-Jews or Gentiles on the other. And that's because, let's face it, the Old Testament is the story of the Jews, the Israelites. And God's promises, starting with the promise to Abraham that he would form a nation and that all peoples would be blessed through his descendants, those promises were made to the Jews, to Israelites. Jesus, who fulfills these promises, he's a Jew, he's an Israelite. And so throughout its history, that gave the Jews this sense that they were somehow special, that their language, their laws, their customs and their practices, including the practice of circumcision, hence the reference to that in verse 11, set them apart. That they were the chosen people, the special ones, the people who were in with God while others were out. And that meant that metaphorically, psychologically, even physically, there were walls between Jews and Gentiles. At the temple in Jerusalem at the time, Gentiles could come inside the outer walls. But then there was this inner section with an inner wall separating out a completely different section, including the temple proper, that only Jews could enter, but Gentiles could not. And if any Gentile tried to enter it, they would be killed. As it says in verse 12, Gentiles were excluded from citizenship in Israel and, seemingly, foreigners to the covenants of the promise. But here's the thing. What Jesus and the rest of the New Testament tells us is that the Jews were, in a sense, only a vehicle. Because the most important wall of all isn't the one between Jews and Gentiles, but it's the one between all humans and God because of sin. And I'll come back to this in a moment. And so the salvation that Jesus brings isn't just for the Jews, for the Israelites, but in fact, it's for all people. It's for everyone. And that's how all people will be blessed. But in the early church, the Jews who come to believe in Jesus, they found it hard to accept that now the Gentiles also belonged. So in verses 14 and 15, Paul says that between Jews and Gentiles, there is a barrier, a dividing wall of hostility brought about by the law with its commands and regulations. After all, the Ephesians, they didn't look like Jews. They didn't speak Hebrew. They didn't know any of the Jewish laws or their many cultural practices. They didn't know the Old Testament backstory. Their gatherings probably didn't look anything like your typical synagogue service. And on the flip side, that must have given the non-Jews, the Gentiles, this nagging sense from time to time that, do we really belong here? You know, one of the deepest longings of the human heart is to find a sense of belonging, isn't it? From the moment that you walked out of your home for the first time as a kid, and you went to preschool, or on your first day of school, or when you're starting at a new school for the first time, or your first day of uni, or when you walk into a workplace for the first time, or join a sporting team for the first time, or when you move into a new neighborhood, when you walk into a church for the first time, the question that's always lingering there in the back of your mind is, will I belong here? And when we find a sense of belonging, a flock of birds that we can belong to, it's human nature that we kind of want to bottle that feeling and keep it to ourselves. We want to feel like we're part of the special group, where we feel special and valued and accepted for who we are because we're part of that group. And that's how mentally, socially, psychologically, we also form walls between ourselves, don't we? And I reckon as a church, we're not immune from that. Unwittingly, we build walls. We form groups. Groups based on what service we go to, based on how long we've been at this church, how long you've known each other, whether you've grown up through church and youth and young adults together. We form groups based on what age you are, what life stage you're in. We form groups based on our cultural backgrounds. We form groups based on things like what school you go to, what school your kids go to, how old your kids are. We form groups based on shared hobbies and recreational activities. We form groups based on what life experiences we've had. And we form groups based on personality, popularity, based on who are perhaps more social, more extroverted, better at organizing events, who's more active on social media, or who's just better connected to other people. We even form groups based on where we sit in service each week and who we regularly gather around to talk with. But when we break off into groups, unwittingly, we build walls between us. We can make it feel as though some of us are in and give others the sense that they're not and that they don't belong. And amongst Christians, we can also easily build up other walls between us based on other things like how we do church or what we believe in. Classic ones being like, what songs do we sing? What type of music do we play? What our services look like? And that's before we get onto any number of other hot button theological debates that Christians have with each other. So in these two verses, the Apostle Paul was addressing the truth that there were walls. Walls between Jews and Gentiles. And I think that we need to acknowledge that we can so easily have lots of walls between us as well. But here's the second truth, and it's in these parts of verses 13 to 18. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. The second truth in this passage is that Jesus is the wall breaker. Jesus is the wall breaker. Whatever walls there might be between us, Jesus is the one who breaks them down. And that is because whatever differences there may be between us, whether it's race, age, culture, gender, life stage, interests, occupation, location, opinions, there is one thing that we all have in common. And that is that we are all sinful and broken human beings. We are all selfish and imperfect people. We all have our faults and our failings. And that means that none of us were in a right relationship with God, and none of us could be in a right relationship with God by our own actions and in our own strength. As I said earlier, the most important wall of all was the one between us and God, separating us from our Creator God, our life-giving God. Instead, as JB unpacked for us last week, if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, then there's one other thing that we all have in common, all have in common, and that is that we have been saved by God's grace. When Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood to cover over our sin and our brokenness, and on the third day when Jesus rose again, as it says in verse 13, we who once were far away have now all been brought near by the blood of Christ. And as it says in verse 18, through Jesus, we all have the same Holy Spirit and the same access to God the Father. I once heard it described as being a bit like the spokes on a wheel. If God is at the center, then to begin with, we're all on the outside, on the circumference. We're far away from God. And if those around you are different spokes, then we're kind of far away from each other and separated out and divided from each other as well. But when through Jesus, God draws us near to him, and as he draws other believers towards him as well, he actually draws us closer to each other. And he breaks down whatever walls there might be between us. And that leads us to the third truth, which is that all of this wall breaking, it has a purpose. There's a reason for it. Verses 15 and 16. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. The third truth is this: God's purpose in breaking down the walls between us and him, and the walls that we have with each other, it isn't just so that we can all sort of get along with each other and kind of coexist peacefully with each other and tolerate each other. It's more than that. It's much more than that. God's purpose is to build something new and better and stronger out of it. A new humanity, as it says in verse 15. A new united humanity. A new body. On the 5th of November 1989, which I realise for some of you feels like ancient history, the Berlin Wall came down. The Berlin Wall, which symbolised the division between democratic West Berlin and communist East Berlin. And with it, the division between democratic West Germany and communist East Germany. In fact, the Berlin Wall symbolised the entire Cold War between the capitalist West and the communist East. But as soon as the Berlin Wall came down, it didn't just mean that West Germans and East Germans could now freely cross the border and start mingling with each other. I mean, it did mean that. But there was much more to it, because it meant that soon enough, there was to be no border at all. And instead of there being West Germany and East Germany, by October the 3rd, the following year, there was just one better, stronger, united Germany. God's purpose is to build a new humanity where we are all part of the one body of Christ, and where we all have our role to play in that one better, stronger, united body of Christ, where all of the things that usually define us, identify us, separate us, become secondary. And instead, we are defined by all of the things that Paul, Tim, and JB have been talking about over the past 3 weeks. We're defined primarily by the fact that we are all saved by grace. We're defined primarily by the fact that we are all loved, chosen, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, secure, accepted. We're defined primarily by the fact that we all have a hope that we've been called to. We all have the riches of a glorious inheritance to look forward to. That is the kind of new humanity that God wants to build us towards. As it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And friends, that impacts how we live, how we see each other, our attitudes towards each other. And it's at this point that we move into the applications from this passage from verses 19 to 22, each of which kind of corresponds to the three truths we've just been talking about. But at this point, you might be thinking, whoa, hang on a second. Now, I can tell you, if I were listening to my own talk right now, I'll tell you the reaction that I would have. You see, it's all well and good to say that Jesus has broken down the walls between us and we should primarily be defined by the fact that we're all saved by Jesus, we're all loved and chosen, we all have a hope to look forward to. Okay, I get it. It's fantastic. It's great. But if that's what God wanted to build with all of us, and that's it, then why didn't he just turn us all into robots or clones of each other? Because at the end of the day, God gave me a certain personality. He gave me certain passions and interests. He put me in certain places. He's given me certain life experiences. To borrow from Psalm 139, he knit me together in a particular way. I'm uniquely and fearfully and wonderfully made. But the truth is, I'm really different from that person over there or that person over there. Does any of that matter? Indeed, if I can just be really brutally honest here for a moment, some of you might be sitting here today thinking, you know, even in this church, I'm not 100% sure that I'm really valued. I kind of feel like I'm a bit on the outer and I don't really fit in. I don't really feel like other people get me or get my personality or get my interests. Not sure that other people here can really relate to me. And are you telling me that that doesn't matter just because Jesus is meant to have broken down the walls between us? Because I don't always feel that. Now, friends, if that's what you're thinking, I'm not saying that at all. And if that is how you are feeling today, then trust me, I hear you. I hear you, and I am deeply, deeply sorry. You see, what I think this passage and other passages in the New Testament tell us is that we're not to deny the things that make us different and only focus on all the wonderful things that we have in common. I think we're actually meant to hold those realities in tension with each other. And in fact, I want to go one step further and suggest that The first application from today, oh, by the way, I've actually missed out on a slide here. I'll keep going. I want to suggest that the first application from today is that we should actually celebrate and appreciate each other's differences and praise God for them. Take a look at verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. This verse is not saying that we're all made to be exactly the same. Indeed, there are several other passages that emphasize it. In fact, God has made all of us different, and that too is part of his purposes. Right? Take this famous example from 1 Corinthians 12. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, don't need you. You see, you, with all of your quirks and experiences and skills and interests and passions, you matter to God. And you matter to the rest of us. Coming back to Ephesians 2, 19, I could talk about the phrase fellow citizens, which I think is particularly powerful given our current political climate. But instead, I want to focus on the phrase before that. We are no longer foreigners and strangers. See, when you think of the word stranger, what's the word that you often associate it with? Anyone? Danger. It's danger, isn't it? Stranger danger. And can I suggest that all too often, that's what we can fall into? Now, there might be someone here at church that you haven't talked to before. And for a start, stranger danger might mean that you won't ever talk to them at all. Or maybe I'll go up to someone, for example, someone I haven't met. And after I talk to them for a bit, I might be thinking to myself, you know what, I can't really relate to you at all. Like just inside your head thoughts, right? I can't really relate to you at all here. I don't understand you. I don't understand your life stage. Don't really understand what you do for work. Trust me, if you talk to me, that's the feeling you'll get. I don't understand what you do for work. Your personality and your interests seem really, really different from me. Whoa, stranger danger. I'll just go off and talk to this other person right now about the football, about Formula One or whatever. But friends, that's how groups form. That's how walls form. That's what builds up the walls between us and makes some of us feel like we don't really belong. You know, I don't want to go on about this, but I really believe that especially in today's social media age, where we actually rely so much on waiting to see what others want to tell us about themselves on social media, and then we can decide whether we like it or not, like literally, whether we like it, right? I really feel like we've lost the art of being curious about other people, being genuinely interested in other people and taking steps to get to know other people, or the art of just wanting to understand other people, get to know them better, especially when they're different from us. And celebrating and appreciating other people for who God made them to be. I really feel like we've lost the art of doing that. You know, as different parts of the body of Christ here at TCBC, let me tell you something. We need introverts. We need extroverts. We need nerds. We need sporty types. And we need social butterflies. We need the young. We need the old. We need the men. We need the women. We need the outdoorsy types. And we need the indoorsy types. We need people of every life stage. We need people of as many cultural backgrounds as possible. We need people of every occupation and every passion and interest. And we need to celebrate and appreciate that and thank God for that. Right? Here's an experiment for all of us. Absolutely, you can talk to your friends here at church. But next time you talk to someone that you haven't talked to before, right, actively try to find something out about them. And if it's something that you don't really relate to, rather than thinking, ooh, stranger danger, right, try thinking, you know what? That's really cool. That's really awesome. And praise God for who He's made you to be. Give that a try. But let's do even more than that, because in verses 20 and 21, we see the second application. Right? We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together. Right? Earlier in the passage, we had the image of a new humanity and a new body. Now we have this image of a new, single, unified building, built on the foundation of what Jesus has done for us and how Jesus has broken down the walls between us. In the same way that Paul has come back to this point and reinforces this point at the end of this passage, we also, I think, need to be actively reminding each other. You know, for all the ways that we are different, even if you and I are completely different people, Jesus is the one who has brought us together. Again, we are all loved, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, secure, and accepted. We all have a hope that we've been called to. We all have the riches of a glorious inheritance to look forward to. Friends, we need to actively remind each other that that is what binds us together. And that, above all, is what brings us to church every Sunday. And that is far bigger, far stronger than any of the differences between us. We need to actively remind each other that because of Jesus, you belong and I belong here at TCBC. You know, we hear stories. We hear stories about people who've left this church or that church, even people who've left TCBC, because they felt as though they didn't fit in or they didn't belong. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes it might be healthy for people to have a change of scene. But sometimes we even hear of people abandoning their faith altogether. And friends, I really feel as though it would be a tragedy, and I don't use that word lightly, it would be a tragedy if we just come here each week, talk to the same people each week, talk about the same surface level things each week, which is not to say that we can't talk to our friends or talk about our work or the football or our health or whatever, right? We can. But if we don't take the opportunity to also remind each other of why we're here and what we have in common and how much we value each other and how much we each belong to the body of Christ, it would be a tragedy if we don't take the opportunity to do that. And then if some of us come away from here feeling as though, you know what? Other people, non-believers, you know, at school, or in my sporting team, or at work, I feel like they get me and understand me and appreciate me and value me more than anyone else here at church does. Wouldn't that be an absolute shame? And I think the third application takes that even further. Have a look at verses 21 and 22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, this is not just any new building or any new body or any new humanity that God is putting together. It is a building, a body, a humanity where God himself lives. But that also means that each of us, as part of that building, as part of that body, we are each of us carrying God with us as we go out into the world each week. And that says to me that we're all part of the same mission. None of us is more important in that mission than anyone else. None of us is carrying more of God into the world than anyone else. And so I think the third application is that we need to also be reminding each other of that as well. We are all part of the same mission, and we are all carrying God with us into the coming week. I almost feel like as we come to the end of this passage and as we come to the end of this message, when we meet each week here at church or in our life groups, it should almost be like this G-up or rev-up session, where instead of letting walls build up between us because we're just birds of a feather flocking together, instead we're celebrating each other's differences and praising God for each other. And we remind each other of the great things that we have in common. And then we send each other out, telling each other, you are carrying God with you this week, with who God has made you to be, in all the places that God has put you, to all the people that you will encounter. Go for it, go. You are a critical part of our team. Go and be Jesus' hands and feet this week. Let TCBC be a church and a community that encourages and spurs each other on like that. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this passage. And we thank you for the way that you've made each and every one of us. And Lord, we are sorry for the times when we just let walls build up between us. When we focus on the things that make us different. Lord, instead, just keep our eyes fixed on you and what you have done for us. Help us to remind each other of how we are all equally important parts of the one body. And help us to spur one another on as we each carry you into the world around us this week. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.